And welcome. I'm going to be doing the show by myself today. There's a full moon out there with moon in Pisces, and it's a little difficult sometimes with the host, and today I thought I'd just do the entire show myself. You're welcome to call in, of course, and but because the moon is in Pisces, and which is also the sign of the fantasy and the film industry, and we were involved a lot with the film here, with the Toronto Film Festival going on. We've got the Meet 50 media people and all kinds of actors and directors here. And we are right in the middle of that, of course. And so I just got in here in the studio, but I've got some very interesting things, and maybe may not be as on time, everything on schedule, so I'll have to find some things that along. Now, this moon, you know, I'm also a film director, and my movie is based on music, actually, the entire thing. This is Western Girl, how she goes to the East to find her roots, her father, and there's some legends of this century in the West and the East in it. And it's based on this one classical scene. It's a very important scene, the final plot point, and that is based on moon in Pisces, exactly the moon that we see today. And I'm also going to be showing you, I'll share with you some of my own music, actually, also. And I hope you enjoy that. And as we go along, I have to find it, of course, as we are going along. You'll have to just bear with me for a little bit. And because, see, when moon is in Pisces, an aspect of pathos, it's not self-pity or poor-me attitude, like a Virgo aspect, for example. It's more, Pisces is more like an illusion, like a fantasy, like when there is a full moon, and you can see the reflection of the moon. And this specific scene that I have in this movie, and let me just create this part. It's going to be on my website also. I hope you enjoy that. And when this girl, she's from the West, actually, she goes to India, actually, to find her father. And I'm Persian myself, but I have a lot of Indian friends, actually, a lot of musicians from there. And but this Indian girl is very sort of a hypocrite, and this Western girl is much more, she has more of the Eastern values, actually. And but the other girl, the Indian girl, she's very wealthy, but she mistreats all these poor people. In the morning, she does all this yoga, and the nighttime, she does all this disco, but totally. So finally, she gets fed up, this Western girl, and she actually just goes in this forest, and she's running away. And I want you to be completely helpless, all this rain and lightning and everything. And as she's coming up, and she always used to help this beggar boy, and this poor boy, and who was very wise, actually. And I want that boy to save her. So she's just coming up this hill, and slowly the rustling of the leaves that you hear. And just that time, I'm just going to put the music for you now, so you can see what this is. And she's just looking at the full moon with the Taj Mahal in the background. And the feelings that she has, these are the ones. And I just want you to see what you feel about it. Okay, so that's from Canada. It's 1-888-810-8322. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to get the States one again. It's 1-877. I said it so fast, I couldn't write it fast enough to. Let me hear it again.
1-877-876-5227 from anywhere in the United States. And for Canada, again, you can call 1-888-810-8322.
That's it. 1-877-876-5227. The line's open. If you did want to call in for a free reading, we'll do that too. In the meantime, let me just explain to you what is going on in the horizon right now in the sky. Well, that moon is in Pisces, and tonight is not exact yet, actually. And every time the moon is in Pisces, there are all kinds of storms you'll find and everywhere. But as soon as it starts going into Aries, they all finish. Just when moon is in Pisces, that's when you can even, probably wherever you are, it's quite either a bit raining type or cloudy. And on September, actually, let me just see exact time for this full moon here. September 7th at 2:41 p.m., so 3 p.m., so actually tomorrow is exact. And the thing is, see, people are born with full moon. They always ask, you know, that why are people, you know, what kind of thing can I expect in the chart? Now, all kinds of interpretation, but you've got to understand the reasoning. When you're born with full moon, that means both moon and sun get touched off at the same time. If it's a positive aspect, it'll will also affect you just as much as the negative aspects, because they both get touched off at the same time. So, for example, people who are born under the sign of Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, they're all getting touched up by this full moon. And it's not necessarily a negative aspect. By the way, it's really interesting. Just before the show, about 5 minutes before, one of my clients dropped in and he wanted to pick up a CD that I'd done for him. And he was a Pisces, and the sun is, of course, in Pisces. I mean, the moon is in Pisces. When he was born, the sun was in Pisces. So whenever you find the moon is in the same position as somebody's sun sign, which often happens, by the way, those people are sort of destined. So if you are a Sagittarius and the moon happens to be in Sagittarius, and you meet certain people, especially an astrologer, etc., it becomes a bit of a destined aspect. Now, I saved some charts for you all, and let me see if I can find some of the ones that I want to discuss with you all, too. I also want to discuss something about the billionaires, by the way. And like in every sign, you, of course, different type of billionaires. And in the sign of Aries, this is Steve Ballmer. He was born with that, of course, and he's a billionaire, too, of course. And George Lucas under the sign of Taurus. And in the sign of Gemini, of course, it's Donald Trump. In Cancer, Leona Helmsley. Merv Griffin, I'm not sure if he's, maybe he's a billionaire too. And Larry Ellison of Oracle, he's a Leo. So these are all billionaires. In Virgo, it's Warren Buffett, who gave $30 billion, I understand, to Bill Gates, actually just for charities and for humanity. It's typical of Virgo aspect. Ralph Lauren was a Libra, he's a billionaire, in his own line, of course, fashion, clothing, cosmetics, jewelry. All this is a perfect Libra theme. Bill Gates, of course, is a Scorpio. He wants to give most of his wealth away. Probably the biggest donor in the world. Spielberg is a Sagittarius. In Capricorn, we had Howard Hughes. And in Aquarius, we have Oprah and also Paul Allen of Microsoft. And in Pisces, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs' chart actually is... It's Pisces with Aquarius planets, actually, because he's into the film aspect also through Pixar. Now it's with Disney for children, and that's all a Piscean theme. But Aquarius aspect, of course, the latest technology, etc. And I'm going to go through all my notes. I've got thousands and thousands of charts, and we'll just keep on discussing different ones. And fashion designers, Perry Ellis, who was a Pisces, actually. You know, it just so happened, I didn't even look at his charts. I mean, I just picked out the first chart, and to read the moon is in Pisces, and he happened to be a Pisces. I didn't even plan that. I was just talking about this aspect, because these people are so destined. There's Mercury in the sign of Pisces aspect to Neptune. The Mercury-Neptune gives you sort of a scheming mind, you know, and... But the Mercury-Pluto aspect, the trine, it's an out-of-sign trine, with Mercury being in Pisces, a water sign, and Pluto being in Leo, which is a fire sign. That gives a certain aspect of wisdom, and also when you have the ability to influence the masses and the mass trends. I'm also born with this aspect, so I've got to be very careful what I say to people, because it influences a lot. We have a lot of kings and queens and some dictators whose minds I try to convert, of course. And he must have been quite a down-to-earth person also, like Aries must be, but very, very intuitive signs. He must probably be able to predict the trends. He has Venus in Aries. Now, this is interesting. Many people are into graphics, for example. They're born with that Venus in Aries, clean, uncluttered lines, like an architecture. And Venus was very close to Saturn. Now, normally, Saturn-Venus aspects are an aspect of unhappiness in marriage and relationships. However, it also, you could say, it's a productive use of the artistic facility. So Venus is the artistic aspect, and Saturn's ability to make money from it, and he certainly did. Pierre Cardin. Pierre Cardin was a Cancer with Venus, Neptune, and Leo. Now here's another. See, the Neptune and Leo is a beautiful generation. That's that age of the golden movies. And unfortunately, it's not the best time for them from last year to about next year to next summer. All the people from the age of the golden movies, they're in danger for the heart and pneumonia, these two things, with Saturn touching off the Neptune. But that's a very, it's a beautiful age group. When you go on these cruise ships like QE, for example, the Queen Elizabeth, that's when you really see these people. And they're always dressed up and in every occasion that, like, for example, Marilyn Monroe was born with Leo planets, and Neptune and Leo. And Liz Taylor was from the next generation, which is Neptune and Virgo. And unfortunately, you know, she has Libra rising, which is this almost gives this sort of a bimbo quality. I know I shouldn't say this, but Libra aspects very strong sense of fairness and justice. And but of course, Hitler was born with that, and in his own mind, whatever he felt unfair, for example, and the Scorpio side kicked in, and he was, you know, the other extreme. Bill Clinton is born Libra rising. Most politicians are born with that, but in women, it makes them very beautiful looking, but very cold at home, almost no feelings. Most people I've seen with Virgo, I mean Libra rising, their home life is completely barren. And yet they're quite protective. For example, they'll have their relationship with their husband, and then there's divorce and separation, and they wouldn't want their husband to see the father to see the children at all. And the mother-in-law becomes very instrumental there, but the home life, the children are born, I mean, are there without any parents there, and the whole America's charge is that Libra rising, just like Liz Taylor. So the home life becomes, as I said, barren with that Capricorn there. It's exactly opposite to Cancer. And the nurturing comes out in their career. So they become very good in their career, but when they come home, the children are already asleep, or they're with babysitters, and they're doing their own thing, for example, and they don't really care, even though they, but they just want to keep them, you know, not for their own happiness or whatever. So Libra rising, unfortunately, is probably one of the worst aspects when it comes to the home and family. And yet they're very beautiful looking outside. And now, there may be some exceptions, like Natalie Portman is also Libra rising, but she has Venus in Cancer, so hopefully that'll give a bit more nurturing aspect. But when I said this, you know, almost like this last quality, like Liz Taylor, every time she opens her mouth, unfortunately, you know, it is, you know, you would think that here's a very beautiful person, and until she starts speaking, and she says the most stupid things you can imagine. I normally wouldn't put this on the radio, but I've started, I'm going to do these critiques from now onwards, especially when I'm doing my own show as opposed to having a host with me. And because it is important for people to understand that, you know, we can just give hints and we would understand it. Like, for example, I saw her in the Academy Award that she was giving out this, the Oscar. And so she came up and she said, well, I've sat in the audience as a loser and on the stage as a winner also. Like, I mean, such a stupid thing to say, you know. I mean, but that's a typical, like, a Libra rising human, that the Hollywood look that you talk about, a blonde look, for example. I mean, they can be beautiful. They can be very wise. I mean, but these aspects of Libra, Athena, because she's from the sign of Virgo, that class is not there that the Leo, the Neptune and Leo had. They're master crafts people. But in the Neptune Virgo, which is the generation, in the 30s generation, that's all, the master craftsmen, very good music and all that, but Willie Nelson and all these blues singers were born with that. Elvis Presley was born with that, but the substance abuse, like Johnny Cash and Liz Taylor, who were born the same day, same year, by the way, they're like astrological twins. And I believe Ted Kennedy also was born the same day, actually. And but that's the Virgo side. They're very humble, and they didn't really, they were all into themselves, so reclusive. But the Leo generation, they always went to parties, and they really lived like, you know, the kings and queens and the stars. The true stars were that, with a certain class about them. Like Lauren Bacall has that, but Marilyn Monroe, for example, I personally felt that she was quite intelligent, actually. Like when they asked her about, you know, that, you know, is New York a lonely place? She said, every place is lonely if you don't know who you are. I thought it was really smart of her, you know, and she had Mercury in Gemini, beautiful voice too, Mercury-Neptune aspect. A lot of pathological depression, very difficult chart, actually, but there's a certain class, a certain dignity. She never complained to other people. In fact, with a Leo rising, that was one of her problems, that she'd never shared her honest secrets with other people, except the psychiatrist, of course. And but the, now, in like Madonna, for example, is too streetwise. It's completely nothing as compared to Marilyn Monroe. Like, she tried to emulate Marilyn Monroe and these other people, but they look totally cheap as compared to Marilyn Monroe. All the critics were very unkind to her. And, of course, when they tried to emulate her, then they found out it completely miserably failed. Absolutely nobody with that ethereal type of look about her. And when they asked her, are you blonde? All over. Like, the way she said it. Like, she was so amazing, seductive in a very interesting way. I met a lady who was born 1 month before Marilyn Monroe, actually. She's 81 years old now. And real dictator, too, but she had Mercury in Taurus, a slightly different chart with Saturn and Scorpio, but the same Saturn and Scorpio, the deep. So they get these dark depressions, actually. That's what she used to get. And while we are talking about the different generations and different age groups and all, you know, we're expecting that when the equinox occurs in the sign of, like right now, for example, you know, we are on March 21st, is Pisces. But as it's going backwards, it's called precession of the equinox. And it's like the whole Earth is like a top, it's slowing down. And this equinox and the day and night are equal, that point, which we call the zero point of Aries, that keeps on going back. And the constellations behind, so it goes from Aries to Pisces to Aquarius like that. And interestingly, that Indian astrology, which I think is totally wrong when it comes to calculations, the original saints were correct, but they never explained this phenomena. So Madonna would be like a Mickey Mouse as compared to them. Like, she would be totally shy and inhibited, and she's not, of course. She's a through and through a Leo. But from this, from their Eastern point of view, she'd be a Cancer, which doesn't make sense whatsoever. And every about 2,200 years, it keeps on proceeding by one sign. And then they call themselves pundits and all that, like a priest, for example, so nobody would question them. But many gurus, unfortunately, are quite charlatans too. And as these signs, but the Western astrology, we take the signs of the zodiac starting from 21st March to the zero point of Aries. And then we take 30 degrees from there. But that is going to be occurring in the sign of Aquarius, which is what they call the Aquarian Age. Now, there's one other thing which I really want to discuss, and that is, you know, in Christian faith, when they talk about the Son of God. Now, there were some on YouTube, there were some things against that, and they were talking about the S-U-N Son. And I'm saying something which is very important, I think, for all Christians to understand, because I'm talking about something very, very important in a very favorable way. Because these people who had done these videos, they came to me about 20 years ago, and I told them not to put it on the air because I think we haven't come to any conclusions, and it's wrong. They said that about 10,000 years ago, in similar cultures in Egypt, when they used to pray to God Ra, the Amun Ra, you know, this the sun god. So it was the S-U-N, son of God, light of the universe, born out of virgin, because it was in the constellation of Virginis, which is the Virgo constellation. And the whole theme, I said it was just that, and they project the same thing in the Bible. They said Son of God, etc. Now, I personally believe, of course, we are Muslims, so we believe that Jesus was, we don't believe the Son of God, etc., because there are so many places in the Bible that it says, everybody seems to be like Son of God, but we believe it's one of our holiest prophets. However, what I'm saying, even if they do believe that like the Son of God, for example, and many of the things are correct, what they use for the actual S-U-N, Son, if they use for Jesus, what I'm saying is that Christians could actually turn around and they say it actually wasn't just copied. It was a celestial phenomena happening in the sky, which is actually heralding something which is going to happen 10,000 years ago. You could always take it that way. If so many events happen, like born of Virgin Mary, etc., all these things, it's just interesting. Like, I was actually, by the way, I always felt there's a real Piscean aspect to Jesus, even though we cannot really, of course, do their charts. They are prophets way above us, but I believe that he had Sagittarius rising. Many prophets are born with that, because that was Leo and Virgo in the ninth house. Ninth house is when you're close to God, you feel. That's a Leo theme. And Leo is also the sun, even the S-U-N, the sun, that's Leo. It's ruled by the sun. And Virgo, of course, indicates when you're critical. In ninth house is all these preachers. And, of course, he went there to the temple and, you know, was against his people, and he was angry at them and threw all the money away, and all these charlatans over there. That's all that Leo Virgo part. He was always the trouble with the law. That's that Virgo part. But Sagittarius makes people very philosophical, and like Leonardo da Vinci was also born with that. As long as you don't have Messiah complex, like for normal people I'm talking about. Because somebody like Jesus Christ, for example, or Prophet Muhammad, for example, if they had influence of more than 1 billion, 2 billion people, there must be something very, very special about them anyways, because normally a person cannot do anything like that at all. So the other charts I was looking at, besides Pierre Cardin, he must have had very expensive taste, of course, with his Venus and the sign of Leo, like Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise and Sylvester Stallone. And Venus Neptune gives a sort of seductive aura and very idealistic in love matters. He must have been really good in marketing, actually, having Mercury in the sign of Gemini. He also had Moon in the sign of Libra, along with Jupiter in Libra, which is fantastic for public response, when people actually like you a lot. And Libra, of course, is assigned to fashion, clothing, cosmetics, jewelry. By the way, if you do want to call in, I know it's a bit difficult to call now. It was much easier before, but we are getting there slowly. And you just have to register, I guess, beforehand. But I would say practice about a day before. Because I did, I tracked about 15 minutes with some actors and directors, and unfortunately I wasn't able to get in with my own password. It was kept on going back and forth, but I'm sure we'll get everything organized in a month or so. But if you are listening to this show, and if you want to call in from anywhere in the States, it's 1-877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 1-888-810-8322. And now, Christian Dior, by the way, had Venus in the sign of Pisces. Now, this is a totally different type of fashion. This is reminds me of Arabian Nights, and a bit more musky. And with Mercury, Christian Dior had Mercury in the sign of Capricorn. This is a very business-like position, actually. Again, Mercury Neptune, which is good for the business point of view when they find every loophole in the tax book. And but Mercury Uranus gives ideas, gives a brilliant mind. Mercury Mars aspect gives a forceful mind, and Venus and Pisces, of course, is seductive aura trying to Neptune. Most of them have Venus Neptune aspects. It actually makes a person quite, you know, when they look seductive. For example, Marilyn Monroe was born Venus in Aries trying to Neptune in Leo. And but besides that, even for beauty and fashion, it's a beautiful aspect to have. And Giorgio Armani. He has a Cancer, Mercury sign of Cancer, and very close to Pluto. The Mercury-Pluto gives a bit of a dictatorial aspect, gives the need to influence the masses and change their viewpoints. One of my clients, actually, they used to own Club Monaco, actually. Maybe they still do, I'm not sure. You know, I was in desktop publishing at one time. And they came to me and I found that the owner, one of the owners, had exactly the same aspect as Giorgio Armani. That gives very good business sense. And having Venus and sign of Gemini aspect to Neptune again. See, the Venus-Neptune, so all of them, all the fashion people, the great people, seem to have that Venus-Neptune aspect. It's really interesting. Very idealistic aspect about love matters. Terry Ellis didn't, though. So certain people did, so Giorgio Armani. Now, Venus-Neptune is also one of the major signs of sorrow, actually. Rudolf Valentino was born with that. Umar Shaif was born with that. In fact, Umar Shaif and Rudolf Valentino, they both had Venus in Gemini. Umar Shaif, of course, Dr. Zhivago, actually. But these people are very idealistic in love matters, and they usually never find that ideal person they're seeking. Another theme about fashion, etc., is the Venus-Jupiter. Like, for example, Giorgio Armani has both Moon-Jupiter square and Venus-Jupiter trine, which gives fantastic public response and social popularity. It's not really a one woman man, usually. Roberto Capucci. You know, I'm not even sure who he is, but I've actually put it along with the fashion people here. Venus and Scorpio, Sagittarius, with Venus and Scorpio, and Mercury and Sagittarius, exactly like Versace, actually. And again, Venus, Jupiter, trine. That's a very wealthy aspect to have. You also and Venus and Moon Jupiter square. The Moon Jupiter gives the visionary aspect, but of course Hitler also had that. But Moon Jupiter is this mass appeal. Of course he was extremely popular during this time. Then Fendi. This is Paola Fendi from Italy. Now he had Mercury and Venus in the center of Taurus, Gemini, but Mercury, Venus, and Taurus. That's a really good taste, actually rich taste. Like Victoria's Secret type, but also really good quality. And when they like to share with other people, it's a very, very loyal placement for the Taurian people. Again, Venus-Neptune trine. The Venus-Neptune, it seems to be the hallmark of all these best fashion designers, when they're able to produce this illusion, like a fantasy, and they're able to dress, of course, all these, the most beautiful women in the world, and the men also, of course. So that's the Venus-Neptune theme. And also Venus Saturn aspects of the ability to make money from something like that. Now you also had a Venus Jupiter sextile, which of course it's a very, very wealthy aspect to have as well. Now looking at some other interesting things. See, my show is for the general public also, I'm trying to make it right, but it's really, you know, if some of you cannot understand the astrological aspect, for example, don't worry about it. It's meant for people who really want to understand astrology as well, and students of astrology and other teachers, for example, because some of these things, like sharing your thoughts, is not available in most places. Now, I was looking at one of the events in this volcanic ash in Cameroon, on August 21st, 1986. And this is about in the evening, I believe. And there's an earthquake and volcanic ash. There were 2,000 people killed while they were sleeping. They didn't even know what happened. It's like all the sulfuric acid and all that. And just in their sleep, they just, you know, so that's why when people came up in the morning, they were just lying, but they were all dead. Like 2,000, it's a small village there. Now, it's interesting that Pluto was in Scorpio. It's like that violent aspect. The night time is like 11 p.m. Of course, they were sleeping. It's night time. And so Pluto was in Scorpio. Every 246 years goes there. That's about 10 to 14 years. Moon was in Pisces, just like today and the next 2 days. And it's conjunction to Jupiter. Now, the moon in Pisces conjunction, in other words, Jupiter was also in the sun of Pisces, the ocean. That's when it's an interesting age group. People are born with Jupiter and Pisces. It's like Leonardo DiCaprio. He became famous after Titanic, which is the ocean. And of course, in this case, he was born with Jupiter and Pisces. And moon also, Titanic, when that happened, moon was in Pisces. That's why all these people had very deep sacrificing instincts. And of course, they kept on playing violin till they actually drowned. And to the last minute, you know, and children and old people and the ship and the ocean, all these themes are Piscean aspects, actually. And so Titanic has, in that disaster, there was moon in Pisces, but it touches off, you know, DiCaprio's Jupiter. So the moon Jupiter, when you put it together, it gives a tremendous amount of fame and more than almost $1 billion. Of course, it had nothing to do with the director at all. I mean, he was taking all credit to himself. They didn't give any credit to Leonardo DiCaprio at all. In fact, he wasn't even at the Oscar. He went to a different party. He must have felt very, very sad, I'm sure. Almost betrayed. The only reason Titanic became so famous was these teenagers were going 12 to 13 times to just watch Leo. That was the main reason, not because of the director. Because many times they tried to come up with all kinds of things for Titanic, and they weren't successful. That director has not been successful like that at all. It's only because of Leonardo DiCaprio. And this is where I really like Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, there are certain things I like. Of course, it's not the Madonna or Demi Moore type, but I'm talking about just one or two principles I really like. One of them, when it comes to any gifts or any spirituality, etc., or spiritual matters or anything, when you try not to just get things free and try to always give something, you always get blessings for that. That's number one. The second thing is always give credit to people when they do something. Give them credit for it. And they didn't give the credit to Leonardo DiCaprio in this aspect, of course. And so there was Moon-Jupiter conjunction, which is they died in sleep without suffering or anything. That part is a Piscean theme, but still it's a deep sadness, of course. Now, and Pluto being a sign of Scorpio, a Scorpio theme is a violent aspect and the black ashes, for example, and the acid and all that. That whole, you know, 1.2 million tons of bombs in Iraq. I mean, these people have absolutely no idea what they were doing. Unfortunately, Bush has charged for you. See all the skull and bones and all these things, for example, and how they're, you know, there's a pilot company that he had, for example, the Bay of Pigs being right there, right in the middle, even the operation, certain aspects being called that. And the ship used, Barbara 3, and he always used the two bombers that he used. They were both Barbara 1 and Barbara 2, and the Barbara 3 was a naval ship, of course, used. So, and that's all the Scorpio theme. And, 50% of the population of Iraq is less than the age of 15. And so all the aspects. Now, of course, the latest president, of course, Bush Jr., there's a similar type of thing. He just continues the whole plan, just destroys the whole culture, the whole museum and all that. And, of course, has created a tremendous amount of what they call the terrorists and all that, of course. But that's a Scorpio theme. It started that time, all the violence aspect, and the long, long time, they're not going to forget this aspect. They have nothing against the people, but it's the politicians. Now, there was also Mars-Neptune conjunction, sort of white conjunction that day. But Mars-Neptune is also, so it's been happening for about a week or so. That's a real nightmare theme. In people's lives, whenever there is Mars-Neptune aspect, you'll always find that, I'm just going to put a little bit of my, that music I was talking about before. I'll try to locate the full piece that I think I just found it, so you can hear from the beginning part of it. I'll just have it softly in the back so we can remember that the moon is in Pisces today. So the Mars-Neptune aspect, now Princess Diana, when she passed away, there was a Mars-Neptune conjunction. She had Neptune in Scorpio, which got touched up by Mars. And the mystery will never really be solved, regardless of what we find about her. And I'm sure that that she was actually pregnant, that she was expecting, actually. And so all the scandals, and that's all Mars-Neptune theme. And, of course, the MSX, anybody involved. I'm quite positive that Prince Charles was not involved. And also, the Queen was also definitely not involved. I'm quite positive of that. And even though these people are very cruel with them, but still, I'm sure that that fiat that was there had something to do with this, and the French people had to do with it also. But that's the Mars-Neptune conjunction, which became like a nightmare. Marilyn Monroe's case is the same Mars-Neptune, and also CIA being involved, and Hoover being involved, and I'm sure she actually died in an ambulance on her way to the hospital, and then when she passed away, they brought her back, and they looked as if she was trying to get to somebody, etc. So that's all the theme. And also, the Mars-Neptune, Princess Diana, Marilyn Monroe, and there was one other person I was trying to think, had exactly the same Mars-Neptune as actually in JFK Jr.'s case, with a similar theme. Again, like a real mystery and the espionage and all these things. And the moon in Pisces. So these three things were there. That was that aspect. And let me just see some other ones. Many people ask me about the Mayan calendar. Now, it's really interesting. It reminds me of the year, December 2001, I believe we had said. December 2000, people are saying that now that time moon is in Scorpio aspect to Saturn. This time also there's a Moon-Saturn opposition in the sky, which is a sort of a deep sadness. But Saturn being in Scorpio, you will definitely find a lot of the gloom and doom going on all around the world. And that's in 2012 for about 2013, all that period. Now the Mayan calendar apparently finishes in December 22nd, 2012. Now, it's interesting, the galactic center is located in the sign of Sagittarius, the constellation of Sagittarius, actually. And it's a powerful, powerful force. It becomes exact that time, the ecliptic theme coinciding with that, or the equinox coinciding with this galactic center. And that is that Mayan calendar. December 22nd becomes exact around that time, apparently, in 2012. But when you look at the configuration, see, if the world is going to end, everybody's chart should be negatively aspected, but it's not. A lot of people who have water planets will be getting fantastic aspects from Saturn and Moon. Now, Neptune will be in 0 degrees Pisces, 51 minutes. So it would have just started going to Pisces, the most spiritual and enlightening phase. And I'm sure people will come up with all kinds of things. First of all, they'll have the doomsday, all kinds of people making all kinds of money. Then they'll come out with, if everybody prays, I'm sure we can avert the fortune. And they'll say, well, actually, there was a shift. There was a humanitarian shift and a spiritual shift, etc. So people come out, just like one of the most demonic charts I've seen, unfortunately, is Sylvia Brown's. Even though she charges $50,000 for her lectures and all that. But the Saturn Moon aspect completely kills the subconscious. There is no subconscious aspect. I'm sure she doesn't dream. And one of the classic ways to, there's no access to subconscious. If you see a face, she hardly ever smiles. I've hardly ever seen her smiling. That's the Saturn Moon aspect. It completely suppresses emotions and access subconscious. And how can they access this theme? Now, she's got Scorpio planets also. She's a Libra with Scorpio planets. Now, people who are born the 19th, like in her case of October, 19 is a very, very special number. And because it can, mathematically, it's like the identity of God, because 1 is the smallest number, 9 is the highest number. From microcosm to the macrocosm, and together the number is indivisible.
the identity of God. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And so people are born the 19th, subconsciously they don't realize this, but they can have a lot of power over other people, which can also be misused as well. Which in her case, most definitely, she's totally like a businesswoman. Now her son is charged like, I don't know, $400 or $500 for half an hour, and it's nothing as compared to when it comes to all these mystical arts. And Edwards, you know, he also wrote about all this life, you know, this past death and all that, and past lives and all. He's also born the 19th of October. And when he goes to the website, it looks like as if he's trying to pose for Revlon or something. It doesn't look like somebody who's holy or spiritual at all. When you're dealing with spiritual aspects, you cannot be concerned with the material aspects of how you look and all that, on deep spirituality. So that's one of the 19th aspects, which can be used but be misused. But so we were talking about this December 22nd, 2012. Venus and Mercury would be in Sagittarius. It's a philosophical. So I'm sure the priests and all the preachers will have a total field day. And they'll try to play on the fear of people and kill them. The fear especially. You see, I love that creator to me who is beside every particle without being part of it. It is such an important aspect. When you observe that universe, and how can you ever doubt his being? And so here is now the Saturn in Scorpio theme is all the violence aspects you find. It's interesting, in 1988 or so, I believe in the 80s, when there was punk rock all around the world, that was the Saturn in Scorpio. Everyone was wearing black from top to bottom. So that's a Scorpio theme as well. And so that is coming back. So probably punk rock, I mean the punk aspect, the gothic and such, will come back again. Pluto would be in Capricorn, but it would have been from November 2008, when I predicted geological revolutions, when there'll be free energy everywhere. And actually it'll start, at least the era will start, and there'll be big conflicts with the government because they'll try to suppress, of course, because it's all fossil-based economy. And so the big players, big money tied down, of course, they don't want any free energy, etc. But that's where the focus is going to be, along with that Pluto thing. So I certainly do not see the end of the world at that time at all. As they said, the last date. But it's interesting, it's amazing that how could they have seen that the, you know, this galactic, I forget what the point of reference was, but the center of the whole galaxy, actually, how it's in the sign of Sagittarius. And on that day, it becomes exact, apparently, when it coincides with something. Okay, let's see some other charts that we have. Leonardo da Vinci, he also had Pisces, Moon in Pisces, actually, just like it is today. And which gives him sort of an ethereal aspect and spiritual element about him. And it's interesting when you look at his picture, it's really very, very similar to Mona Lisa. And I don't think it's a self-portrait, but it could be, like one of the portraits I have here. Definitely, it's like a mirror image of that. He had Mercury in the sign of Aries, aspect to Saturn. And the person who made the Statue of Liberty had exactly the same thing as well. And see, Michelangelo had Mercury in Aquarius. It's interesting. Leonardo da Vinci's generation had Neptune, son of Libra. This is the 40s generation and the 50s generation, also the most romantic generation, when Taj Mahal was conceived as a monument to love. And also, of course, the war had finished, people coming back, so there's a lot of love stories and all that. So it's a very, very beautiful era. The Neptune and Scorpio, it's like the 60s generation, same thing with Michelangelo, where he combined the nudity with spirituality by painting all this news in the Sistine Chapel. That's all that Saturn and Scorpio theme. Whereas Leonardo da Vinci's theme, the emphasis was not on nudity at all, it's much more on the spirituality, and with that Venus and, I mean, Moon and Pisces, that ethereal quality that he did. Absolutely, there's a definite, like, that divine connection, like a prophet. And he had Venus in Taurus, actually, which is also a very artistic and musical sign, actually. And aspects to Uranus as well. So it becomes like all the pleasure aspect with that Venus and Taurus. They're not very good vegetarians, so they love the steak, love the... So anything that they do, whether it's art, music, all that becomes like a very physical thing with them. And the need to possess art, like Diana was born with that, actually. But he was totally a scientist. He had Mercury, son of Aries, aspect of Saturn, which makes a person total genius. He also had a Moon-Jupiter conjunction in Pisces. Yeah, which is a very, very important aspect when I was talking about before, that the public responds, and there's a deep feeling of reverence which you have, because he was completely on his own. Like, you know, to me, he's an artist which nobody in the world can copy. Now, he did make some revolutionary things by having a portrait in front of a landscape. That was the first thing. But the way he's made those hands, almost like a three-dimensional, when you observe the anatomy underneath it, it's absolutely a masterpiece. Of course, they said that he was too impatient, didn't finish anything. But whatever he finished, it'll take a whole lifetime for people to even just make one finger, forget about the whole hand. And but there are two elements of genius to me. One of them is a pure talent. The sensitivity itself is a talent. If you're not a musician, I feel it's almost impossible to be an astrologer. And because here's a divine art, for example, and this is what I like about Robert Hand also, for example, even though he's become too theoretical and too philosophical and without any interpretation. So, and even the gentleman who comes after me, I've never met him or talked to him or anything, but it's Dr. Uri. He also, I was reading at one point in his time when he was in London with, I forget what instrument, but he was into music also, of course. Because I think when you have that deep sensitivity for music, then it's one of the divine truths of nature. And it increases sensitivity of a person. So it's, and nothing more hormonal than that. I've developed my sensitivity to such an extent that I can close my eyes and play a few chords on the piano and say, today, the moon is in Pisces. And that part, I think, is very, very essential to have that. I have some other music also for Pisces today, and I'm going to play just the beginning part, two different pieces. One is called Lysistrata, and then I'll play the real Piscean music. This Lysistrata is a beautiful one by Giovanni. Here's a... Hopefully you can hear that. And now when the violins and cellos come in, it's like somebody just hugging you, almost at the soul level. That is a Piscean theme. It's a deep, mellow, it's not a giggling tub of happiness at all, but a beautiful pathos when there's certain beauty in the sadness even, but which touches you at the soul level. People who've had some real sadness in life, not just any tragedy or something, but deep sadness, they are able to appreciate this more. And there's another one called Sade, Sade by Vitmonti. I really love this music also, but the violin piece that comes in, it's really, really interesting. That is that moon in Pisces that Leonardo da Vinci was born with, and the type of feeling that, like today and tomorrow, is fantastic for music and for playing. This is the type of music that in Tramp, Charlie Chaplin captured the imagination of the masses. It's a little boy and the poor, that Tramp, for example. Everyone just felt the sympathy and the empathy and compassion and sensitivity. It brought out all those qualities, yet it was funny too at the same time. So this is a pure Piscean theme that I want to discuss with you all. And see if we have some other people of interest. We have thousands and thousands of charts, of course. And the 12, 15, 15. I have quite a few different events. Of, you know, it's interesting that Leonardo da Vinci was actually accused of being gay. I don't particularly think. In fact, I'm quite positive he wasn't, actually. But in April 8th, he had the aspect of his right birth, and Neptune was in Scorpio at that time, touching off his Venus. So Neptune-Venus aspects are the deep sadness for a person when you feel some of the major signs of sorrow that I said earlier. And So that aspect, and it lasted for a few years probably. And but I'm quite positive it wasn't actually. I was also looking at Marie Antoinette. Marie Antoinette had Uranus in Pisces, Moon in Libra, Venus in Scorpio. She was Sagittarius, with Mercury in Sagittarius. And when this happened, actually, she was born with Mars in the first house. That's with the Cancer Leo theme. And Mars represents the head area. She was born with Mars Saturn opposition, which is a major action and configuration with sharp objects, etc. And Mars in the first house. If the person is shot or beheaded, for example, the guillotine thing, that's exactly the same Mars aspect. So transiting Moon was in a 10th house at that time in the sun of Pisces. Now, it's interesting, I didn't realize. Here I turned to it just to see what my notes are, and again the Moon in Pisces like today. Strange synchronicity, isn't it? So Moon in Pisces, and as we are talking about her, it also proves another thing to me. Moon is in a 10th house, exactly the same as where it was when she passed away. The Moon Uranus, and Uranus is also the media. Moon is exactly touching off of Uranus today. So here we're talking about the radio, all around the world. It's going to be archived on the internet. There's a fame aspect. So you'll find that even when a person passes away, the horoscope lives on. That's why I do believe that it doesn't travel from one to the other. There's a different explanation for the incarnation, which I'll talk about in a different show. And by that, because when Moon is in the 10th house, for example, there's a fame element. Whether it's Chopin or you start playing Beethoven's music and you look at the chart and you find that that week, for example, Moon is in, I mean, all these other planets, let's say there are a lot of planets in the 10th house. So in her case, there's a fame element. Just like Princess Diana's case, Moon was right on top in Scorpio in the 10th house on a funeral. And the whole world watched her, and she was more famous at, when she passed away than she was alive. More than 1 billion people watched her on television that day. That's at Moon Scorpio. When Marie Antoinette passed away, it must have been either cloudy or something, a very sad type of feeling. And with that moon being in the sign of Pisces, a deep, deep sadness. But it is a fame aspect also when you're, but it's also moon touching off Uranus, like a sudden shock which you recover. Or you don't recover, just a sudden shock. But the moon Saturn square also she had. And she was born with a moon Saturn aspect, like moon, Mars, Saturn square. And so the moon sign definitely is a deep, deep aspect of unhappiness and sadness as well. And yeah, Mars aspect to Uranus, all the freak actions, like then, actually that time Uranus was in Leo. Leo is a sign for the royalties, like sudden upheavals in the lives of royalty. We are running out of time. We just have a few minutes left. And by the way, another piece of, which is a very famous sweet piece you must have heard, of course. Let me just play this one. This is an Ave Maria. Now, just Ave Maria, that feeling itself and the spirituality and all that, that's all. This is a true moon in Pisces also. Beautiful aspect, yeah. Well, we are coming to the end of the show, and we hope you are able to listen to us again.